Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will bring a second message from the book of Proverbs on wisdom with words.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
We say a lot of words every day. Research says that in a three-minute phone call, slow talkers can get in about 450 words, and some people can get in 750 words in that same amount of time. One study says that a typical man speaks, on the average, about 10,000 words each day, and the typical woman speaks about 30,000 words with gusts up to 50,000. Well, I don't know that that's true. I think men and women speak much closer to the same amount of time. But if there was ever an area of life that we need to bring under the sanctifying power of God, it's our tongue. We started looking at that last week, and we started in James chapter 3 and the warnings there about the tongue and how much it can do if we're not careful. We then looked at Proverbs, and we saw that words can be used for good or evil, that words should be used as investments. And when they're foolishly invested, there's no return on investment. That they're sometimes better saved than spoken, and that there are certain forbidden or illegal investments with words, such as revealing secrets, making hasty commitments, using words to start fights, cursing our parents, bearing false witness, and flattery. Well, today we want to look at a few more illegal investments with words, and then we will look at positive ways to invest words. So let's look now at illegal investment number 7, and this is a big one. This is one that has been called by some the favorite indoor sport of Christians. It's gossip and slander. Proverbs 18:18 says, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." That verse is so important, it's repeated later in Proverbs 26:22. Well, who is a whisperer? A whisperer is a gossip. There's someone who's spreading information around, maybe true, maybe not true. In 1887, the coffin of Abraham Lincoln was pried open to determine if it contained his body. What makes it so remarkable is the fact that his body had been resting in that coffin for 22 years. Yet even more amazing is that 14 years later, a rumor circulated again that his coffin was actually empty. The furor so gripped the country, the only way to silence it was to dig up the coffin again. They did it. The rumor was silenced because of a handful of witnesses viewed the lifeless body of Abraham Lincoln. Amazing what happens. Amazing how a whisperer can create so many problems. That proverb warns about the whisperer, and it says, "The words of the whisperer are like dainty morsels." The Hebrew text means things that are greedily devoured. People love gossip. People love to hear gossip. Magazines are made for gossip. And so much of so-called news today is gossip. Why do people love gossip so much? I'll give you two considerations. One is arrogance. We love to hear other people put down because it makes us feel good about ourselves. The flip side is insecurity. We love to hear people put down so that maybe they're a step below even our estimation of ourselves. Either way, it's food for our flesh. It is not godly. I sometimes will hear people say, "Don't tell anyone that I said this." And my response will be, if it isn't worth repeating, it isn't worth saying in the first place. I don't want to hear it. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." Listen to me, my friends. Wise people do not hang around with people who spread gossip and slander. Foolish, fleshly people do that. But think for a moment about what is happening. If a person is telling you the latest juicy gossip or slander about someone else in your presence, what are they saying about you when you're not around? Those people are not the kind of folks you want as friends. What are the consequences of gossip and slander? Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." See, a gossip may be saying something that's true. It's just inappropriate to share it. A slanderer is someone who makes false charges, false statements, or half-true statements, and these statements are meant to do harm. Remember the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? And Joseph had become friends with Potiphar, worked in his house, had charge of everything, and was doing a great job. And according to Genesis 39, verse 1 through 6, they had a wonderful friendship. And then Potiphar's wife got involved. And she shared a slanderous, false accusation about Joseph to her husband Potiphar and ruined that friendship. That's what happens, my friends, with gossip and slander. You know where this comes from? The Bible tells us that Satan himself is a slanderer. He loves to slander God. He loves to slander others. And listen to me, he loves to even slander you inside of your own head. He loves this. Why? Because he wants to divide and conquer. He wants to ruin intimate friendships. And I don't know about you, but I at times have been the brunt of gossip and slander. I think most all of us have been. Rumors, innuendos, faulty conclusions, and outright lies have been spread for years, to the point that even some friends turn against us because of gossip and slander that they have received. When you try to explain to those people it's not true, they're forced to take sides in a he said, she said difficult situation with no witnesses. And having experienced that personally makes me very sensitive to this area of words. And by the way, how often does this occur in the political realm? So often rumors are spread about our president and other high officials that simply are not true. And what about those emails or shared statements on social media that go out to millions of people, and then you go and you check on Snopes and find out it's just not true? What about quotes taken out of context? That's deceptive. And how often even conservative Christians are guilty of gossip and slander in the political realm? Of course we should discuss issues. Of course we should defend morality in our culture. But that's different than slandering people with false accusations. Another consequence of gossip and slander is in Proverbs 25, verse 23. "The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance." It's funny, we can read the weather, but we can't seem to read the impact of gossip and slander on the climate of our relationships. If you are spreading gossip and slander, you are going to produce anger somewhere. And that's not what we want. Anger is not godly. We don't want that in our own heart, and we certainly don't want to encourage it in the heart of other people. And it takes a very strong person to have a godly response when they are the one who are being gossiped and slandered. What are some responses you can use when you are on the wrong end of that? Well, one might be humor. Winston Churchill was in his last year in office, and he attended an official ceremony, and several rows behind him, two gentlemen began whispering, "Hey, that's Winston Churchill. They say he's getting senile." The other guy said, "They say he should step aside and leave the running of the nation to more dynamic and capable men." When the ceremony was over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say he is deaf." What a great way to silence gossip and slander. Well, there are other good responses. If someone tells you that someone else is saying negative things about you, simply do this. Say to that person, "Would you please go and tell that other person that if they have some concern with me, they need to come talk to me directly and require that person to go back and set this thing aright. If they're not willing to, there may be times you just need to go yourself. But go without assuming that what you're hearing is true. Maybe the accusation of gossip and slander is actually gossip and slander. So go prayerfully and humbly and say, hey, I'm hearing some rumors. Some people are saying that you're saying this about me. Is that true? Could we talk about that? And if you have a concern about me, I'm all ears. I would like to hear it. You could diffuse the whole situation and preserve relationships. Well, when it comes to hearing gossip and slander, we must become people who refuse to listen to it. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. So first of all, refuse to gossip, and second of all, refuse to listen to gossip. Alan Redpath, in his book, A Passion for Preaching, said this, I once formed a mutual encouragement fellowship at a time of stress in one of my pastorates. The members subscribed to a simple formula applied before speaking of any person or subject that was perhaps controversial, using the acrostic THINK. Taking those five letters, he said this, T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? He went on to say, if what I am about to say does not pass those tests, I will keep my mouth shut. And it worked. That's wise counsel when it comes to our words. Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are studying Proverbs, learning how to gain wisdom with our words. We've seen so far seven illegal investments with words, and now the eighth. Lies and deception. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. You see, in the business realm, lies and deception may help you close the deal. But that's not the end of the deal. You may gain some money from it in this life, but you are accountable to God, and He knows everything. He knows that you lied. He knows that was deception. He knows you tried to get ahead by ripping off someone else. Oh, my friend, it's not worth it. Do not deceive people with your words, especially in business. Tell the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth, even if you lose the deal. Why? Because then you can look forward to being a person of integrity who is rewarded in heaven when the ultimate deal closes. Well, there's one final illegal investment with words that we must avoid at all costs, and that is boasting in ourselves. Wow, that one happens so frequently. Ever been at a party where someone tells a story and then somebody else can't wait to one-up that story and then someone else has to tell a better story? Proverbs 25 verse 14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. Proverbs 27:2, write this on your mirror in your bathroom. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Listen to me, my friend. Praise is a beautiful garment, but though you may wear it, someone else must put it on you. Don't put it on yourself. Avoid boasting at all costs. There's an example in the New Testament that I love. John the Baptist came along. He was the great prophet. Hadn't heard a word from a prophet in 400 years, and here he comes along. And what did he say about himself? He said, compared to the Messiah, I'm unworthy to even tie or untie his sandal. Wow. John the Baptist did not boast about himself. But what did Jesus say about him? Jesus said he was the greatest prophet who ever lived. Oh, how much better to have Jesus praise you than to praise yourself. John wore the garment of greatness, but he did not put it on himself. Jesus put it on him. Well, we've looked extensively at how not to invest with our words. Now let's look at the positive side on how to invest with our words. And I want to suggest that you invest with gold. Now, I just looked this morning and gold prices are hovering around $1,300 per ounce. That's a lot of money. And some people are strongly suggesting that wise investors would purchase gold, especially if our country goes further into debt. Well, I don't know about all that. I'm not an economist, and I don't personally have a lot of gold except the one I wear around my ring finger. But I do believe that our words can be golden. Words carefully invested for the benefit of others and the glory of God are golden words. So let me give you a few principles from Proverbs on this. Number one, words are golden when sovereignly directed by God. Now, this verse is going to blow your mind. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Fascinating verse. He's talking about a contrast here by using the word but. You have plans in your heart, and they are from you, but there is an answer that comes out of your mouth that's from the Lord. What in the world does that mean? The Expositor's Bible Commentary says, God sovereignly enables people to put their thoughts into words. The verse is in the form of a contrast. The plans of the heart and the reply of the tongue are contrasted by the prepositions belong and from. The verse can be taken in one of two ways. First, the thoughts and the speech are the same. Or secondly, the speech differs from what the person intended to say. The commentator says this second view fits the contrast better. So then, the proverb is actually giving the reader a glimpse of how God confounds even the wise. The word reply in the book seems to refer to a verbal answer to another person. So when someone is trying to speak before others, the Lord directs the words according to his sovereign will. In other words, there are times when in your mind you may intend to say one thing and God may superintend your tongue to say something else. Why would he have to do that? Maybe to rescue us from saying something foolish. But perhaps he is so sovereign, he is going to accomplish his purposes no matter what man may try to do. This is powerful to think about, that the sovereign God of the universe could actually intervene in our words. I'm sure hoping he does that a lot with mine. Our words come from our hearts. What did Jesus warn about our hearts? Our hearts have all kinds of evil in them. Jeremiah says, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Jesus warned that what comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. And so what we desperately need is for God to change our heart. He must change our heart, and then he can change the words that come out of our mouths. I met a lady one time, and she told me how she was going out with a guy a few times, and she thought, this relationship's going nowhere. And the guy asked her, please just go home and think about this, and then give me a call, and let's talk about it. So she went home, and first of all, she avoided calling, and she found, I got to call this guy and tell him it's over. So she called with that in mind. She was just going to tell him, hey, I don't think this relationship should go to the next level. We should just be friends. But the words out of her mouth were, let's take it slow. And she said, did I just say that? She was shocked. Well, they continued dating, and now they've been married for over 24 years. Can you imagine what she thought she was going to say and what she did say? Perhaps God is even that sovereign. Does that mean I'm off the hook? No. We're accountable. We're responsible for our words. God doesn't always intervene. Sometimes God allows us to say foolish things to demonstrate our need for humility and our need for spirit control. But oh, that we would prayerfully submit our words to God's sovereign control. Oh, how I pray he would not need to override my words very often. Oh, how I pray that he would fill your heart and mine with his truth so you would speak the truth in love. But please, my dear friends, submit to God's sovereignty in your life when it comes to your words. Then your words are golden. Well, your words can also be golden when they provide wisdom and knowledge for others. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. Proverbs 31:26, referring to the godly woman, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Listen to me, this is my observation, but I really believe that our culture is lacking in common sense. I guess you could say it this way. Common sense is not very common anymore. People are desperately in need of knowledge and wisdom. That's why I love courses on financial planning, etc., because it helps. And I think certain courses will not only give you the truth about money, they'll give you the skills to handle money. And that's what we need to use our words for, to give truth to people, to impart knowledge, and then to also help them develop skills with that knowledge. Your words can do that. We can invest in our culture for the glory of Christ. We could speak words that bring truth to people they've never heard before, and then we can help them understand how to apply that. And I want to suggest to you a way to do that. Give deep thought to your words. Come up with some maxims for your life. Think of some of those phrases that you could pass on like your parents did for you. I remember when I was growing up, my mom always used to say to me, "It's a fact of life that you don't always get what you want." She was trying to help me understand contentment, patience, etc. It's a fact of life, son. You will not always get what you want, and that's okay. You might have heard other ones, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or the one I share often, life is all about relationships. But use your words to pass on wisdom and knowledge. There's a third way to invest our words in gold, and that is that words are golden when we proclaim the gospel. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside." Now, Proverbs 24:11 says something similar. And of course, it's referring there primarily to physical death. But if physical death is so critical, we must warn people, isn't eternal spiritual death even more important? That we would go to people and challenge them and proclaim to them the good news of Jesus Christ, pure gold, giving them the greatest gift they could ever receive, that they would avoid not only physical death, but eternal death. There's a fourth golden investment we can make. Words are golden when we correct the wise. We've said earlier that it's sometimes not good to rebuke a fool. But when we correct the wise, they get even wiser. Proverbs 25:12, "Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." Proverbs 27:5-6, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Oh, my friends, wise people love to be rebuked. They love it. Why? Because they get wiser. So let me ask you a question. Test yourself on how wise you are. How do you react when someone reproves you, rebukes you, confronts you, wounds you? Do you appreciate it? How about this? When your dear friend is doing something dumb, do you go out on a limb and rebuke them? A few more and we'll be done. Words are golden when we defend the rights of the afflicted. There are those that are unfortunate, they're mute, they cannot defend themselves, Proverbs 31:8-9 says. And of course, I always think about the unborn who have a right to life and how we need to defend them. There's a sixth golden investment. When our words are golden, when they meet needs. As we saw earlier with anxiety, how we can bring gladness, how our pleasant words can be a honeycomb and sweet to the soul and healing to them bones. Invest, invest, invest in meeting needs. So we've seen from Proverbs that words can be used for good or evil. Words are an investment. And finally, words need to be spoken wisely. Two things. First of all, timing is everything. When you say it, Proverbs 15:23, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." When you say it is critical. And secondly, how you say it. "A gentle answer turns away wrath. A wise man ponders how he speaks," etc. You want to have good words, persuasive words that build people up. Take a moment and pray. Ask God to give you the wisdom to use your words for His glory and the benefit of His people.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. We pray that God is using His Word to transform your life. Pastor Paul would love for you to join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where he is currently teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We have a wonderful children's program during the worship service, and then Sunday school for nursery through adults at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, please go to our website at www.reseda.org. thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. And please join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA when Pastor Paul will bring us a special message to prepare our hearts for Thanksgiving.